This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe and welcome to our circle.
Hello, everybody. This is Patricia W. Fisher for Readers Entertainment Radio. Today, we have a few literary acknowledgments to make before we get started with our host that will be here shortly. Charles Dickens' birthday is today, 1812, wrote such books as Tale of Two Cities and sorry, my coffee is not kicked in. But I do remember Tale of Two Cities vividly because I did have to read it for freshman literature. And also Laura Ingalls Wilder, who wrote the Little House on the Prairie series. Her birthday is today. She was born in 1867. And it's also Ballet Day. So if you see anybody in the fine arts and ballet, please tell them Happy Ballet Day. It takes an incredible, incredible amount of discipline to be in that sport. So please just give a little nod of acknowledgement if you can. But today we're going to have Lori LeClaire, that she should be here shortly. And she has been just an amazing, amazing inspiration to me writing-wise. She's a best-selling author. She writes contemporary romance, romantic comedies, romantic suspense, and women's fiction. She has a not-so-secret love for characters who make her cry, laugh, and who linger in her mind long after the story ends. Lori's habit of daydreaming has gotten her into a few scrapes and launched her to take up her dream of writing. Finally, she can put all those stories in her head to rest as she brings them to life on the page. And she is a voracious writer, let me tell you. She's got so many books out. With the cold weather the way it is, you will have plenty to choose from. She also, her latest book, Dear Cupid, is now available on Amazon, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, and iBooks. And the links are all in the write-up for the show, as well as her website, Facebook, Twitter, and Goodreads links. So welcome to the show, Ms. Lori LeClaire. How are you today?
Hi, how are you? I'm doing great.
Good.
How's everybody? Yeah.
It's good. You know, the kids are busy. We're in the crazy of Girl Scout cookie season.
Oh my gosh.
Yes,
I saw those
yes.
on your table. Oh my goodness.
I know. I ordered the same for all three girls. So it's not like this girl sold this many and this. I order all the same and then say, okay, sell all these cookies and we'll get more if you need them. So it just makes it easier that way.
Yeah.
I don't slightly go mental. Yeah. But we've had an amazing response this year. People are donating to our troop. They're donating a lot of cookies because we take them to the Bamsey Fisher House that helps military families.
So we're
excited. We've already gotten 50 boxes of cookies to donate. So super excited about that.
That's awesome.
And speaking of, you could sit down and eat some cookies and read one of your books. So
yes, perfect. Perfect segue.
So, there we go. Thank you so much. All those hours spending in journalism classes paid off. Let's go back a little bit. Were you a big-time reader as a kid?
Oh, yes, yeah. I was such a reader that my folks signed me up for the monthly reader club where you'd get four books in the mail every month, and I just loved getting those books. And, you know, just I can remember waiting for the postman to come that time. They'd come to the door and, just waiting for their package and opening up and the smell of the book and cracking open the book for the first time, the spine cracking. So it's like very, it's still there. I still have all those great memories of just reading them and, you know, waiting for the next month to come, you know, the day after I get it because I've already read all four of them.
Right. And so my guess is that in the meantime, between the books arriving, you would hit the local library.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was even a library aide in school. I'd go to the library every week. Reading's always been there for me, and my mom and dad loved to read, so it just, you know, was a natural thing for me, and I'd get lost in the stories and oh, I want to be a writer, but that didn't happen for many years after.
Right. And, you know, people talk about, well, why do we need libraries now? And I think we need them just as much as we did, 10, 20, 30, 50, 100 years ago. I mean, not everybody has financial access to have a lot of books at home. And even though we do, a lot of people have digital, there's nothing like you're talking about cracking the book, sitting down, curling up in a chair and reading those pages.
Right. And for kids, I love the story hours, especially in the summertime, the reading program at the libraries, the story hours, and it's their interaction, you know, and seeing how other kids love books. And I worked in a library, and now my brother works in a library. So we get to experience the, you know, the delight of all the kids that get to read. So, you know, it's new worlds and new experiences for them.
It is, and it's fun because I think one year our elementary school, and it was brilliant marketing, but they had the book fair. The first day of the book fair was on Grandparents' Day, and so that library was packed with grandparents, just like, I will buy you this book. We'll get off your, you know, BS. And these kids were like, sure. And then they realized, oh, that's a cool book. And that's, I mean, they were walking out with just armfuls of books.
And
I think it also sets it up for the grandparents to sit down and say, oh, I read this book. Will you let me get it for you and read it to you? And that, those moments, you can't get those with just sitting down with a phone and doing that. So, and now you've added to those libraries with all your books.
Yes. I think this was the 37th one. The Dear Cupid is 37th published in the last five and a half years.
So you are cranking out about...
for 28.
Right. So, but you're writing just like a ton of books. You put out 6 or 7 books a year. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
So what is your schedule? Like, I know that you're very organized. And so tell me, do you commit to so many hours a day, so many words to the page, words to the screen? What is your kind of your general formula?
Well, it's strange because I used to try everybody else's way and not really think about what worked best for me. But it's been a learning experience. You know, you think you've got it down, and then, oh, the next book comes in a completely different way. So the last year and a half, I'd say, I'm more of a marathon writer, and I've never been like that. And by that, I mean, you know, I'll just think about the book, and I'll put down ideas or characters, I'll think of things for them. And then all of a sudden in my head, everything's coming together, and I'll sit and I'll write it, you know, maybe 40, 50 pages in a day, which is ridiculous torture on your body. But like 2 weeks ago, I wrote 70 pages in one day, which is all time high for me. But I knew the story. I knew I had a deadline, and deadlines help to get you, you know, to do that. But I have to have that focus now. There's so many things going on. If I don't get any writing done in the morning when my mind's fresh and not cluttered with anything else, then, you know, it's hard for me to write later through the day. There's so many influences on you, you know, the news, the TV, this or that, or life in general. So marathon writing is better for me. Just blocking out a certain amount of time, and some people can do it each day to do that, which works great. And others are just, you know, I'm so into the story, I need to focus and just get the words down. And I've been in touch with a friend. We've known each other for years, and we've just kind of reconnected. And now we're accountability month is this month. So how many words do you have? How many pages? You know, it's just, let's get something written and, you know, kind of be accountable for each other. So that's working.
And that's huge, because I think a lot of times people are like, well, why would I join a writer's group? Why would I need a critique partner? Why would I need that? And I think the big thing is accountability for sure, is did you get your stuff done? It's no different than a weight loss buddy or, you know, an accountability buddy of a 12-step program. It's definitely somebody that checks in with you and says, hey, did you accomplish that goal today?
Yes, and it makes you show up to your own writing and to your own, you know, project or whatever you want to accomplish. It just makes you show up to it like, okay, I've got to get this done. And then, you know, it's not competition. It's just I'm here to support you, and you have to, you know, you do this for yourself, and it's easier to have somebody there going along the same path you are.
Right, and understands why.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. If you're just now tuning in to Readers Entertainment Radio, we're talking to bestselling author Lori LeClaire, whose newest book, Dear Cupid, just came out, and very timely, of course, because it's Valentine's. And as all of Lori's wonderful, wonderful, sweet stories, they all end in the happily ever after, but we want to know how they get there. So tell me about Dear Cupid.
Oh, this was such a fun book to write. I can't believe this is my first Valentine's book I've ever written. I just had this idea, and then I was brainstorming with a few people at Thule Publishing, the publishing house, and I just came up with a few ideas and said, let's tweak this, let's tweak that. And in a few weeks, and came up with this idea, and I've always, you know, wanted to set a series in New England where I'm from, and I love the small town atmosphere, and of course I had to have a romantic comedy. So it all kind of came together, you know, like that processing phase I said about writing. It's also about, you know, plotting and figuring out the story before you actually sit down to write it. It's better for me that way. So it took a few weeks and got all the pieces together, and you know, they loved it, and so I just went ahead and I did change the name 3 times. It was, you know, it just had to have its own evolution, I think. And Dear Cupid seems like the best one because it's, you know, lovelorn advice column. So, yeah, it was fun.
It sounds fun, and I think Valentine's books are always a lot of fun to read because, again, you know, we know the happily ever after is going to happen because that's kind of the definition of a romance. And if anybody's listening, a romance has to have a happily ever after, despite discussion online in recent months. A love story is someone who finds romance, maybe the happily ever after, but then something changes, hence the movie Love Story that, you know, they find each other, looks like things are going great, and she dies of some random disease we don't
terrible
even know, they never even say. And so, like Nicholas Sparks, a lot of times his books end and they get together and then something happens, like someone's killed in an avalanche or hit by a car. And those are love stories. So it's know the difference and embrace that, and that's fine when you're reading something, know what you're getting. But it's with the Valentine's books, it's fun just because I think it's you could tilt it either way, where it's someone who's completely ready for love or someone who's like, this is never going to happen, I'm fine with that, or this, you know, everything's terrible. I mean, there's all sorts of levels of intensity you could put in there. How did you decide for your characters in the book for Dear Cupid, how did you decide the level of love reception, I guess, for your people?
Well, for Gemma Valentine, you think, you know, with the last name is like Valentine, that she would believe in love, but the complete opposite. So it was very fun to write someone like that. She didn't believe in it. You know, she's a very practical librarian, talk about libraries. And, you know, she comes back home to help her family. They have to close up their antique shop, which is Valentine's at Vine. And she, you know, reunites with her best friend's brother, and they're opposites. They're just opposites, but they've kind of have that banter, and, you know, he's just there to do some work and get a promotion. and it just kind of, they come together, and, you know, they're literally, you know, banging heads,
right?
And then they end up bringing back the Dear Cupid column from their town's newspaper, the Cupid's Corner Gazette, and just kind of reinvigorating that for her grandmother, and Valentine's Day that will be coming up in a few weeks. So they're kind of like pressured into doing this just to please her family. And it was really funny to write the column and have both views, his view and her view, opposing views at times, or kind of, you know, his was kind of, short and to the point, and hers, you know, she really had to dig deep and figure out, you know, well, these are real people here. Their hearts are on the line. So it really opened her up to see how people love and how they fall in love and what's at stake. So that's
right.
How she opens up her heart to other things, and especially to him. And so it was a great journey to get them from, they're attracted to each other, but they don't get along. And, you know, then they have to come together and work to get this column done. And all the people around them are depending on them. So, it was really fun. And really, I had changed the ending. I tweaked it, and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm crying
because
I'm writing it. So it was really sweet, and it's a romantic comedy, so it's funny. So I'm laughing and crying through the book, and it's like, oh, you know, those are the kind of books you love to write.
Oh,
it
yeah. I think years ago, Sandy Blair, as a best-selling writer, she came to San Antonio and did a workshop or a presentation and talked about writing sex scenes. And the comment to her from her was, if you're not getting turned on reading it, no one's going to get turned on. If you're not getting turned on writing it, no one's going to get turned on reading it. And so that applies for every emotion that you put in
there.
If you're not getting angry, if you're not laughing, if you're not crying, it applies. So it's sometimes a little bit difficult to, and I'm sure you have this with yourself, is you're writing a scene and you're really trying to get it just so. And interruptions happen, and so you have to turn things away. And I think sometimes my family wonders what's wrong with me. Like, why is Mom crying? It's like, it's fine, you know. writing a scene. I'm sure Jim's come in from time to time, and just Jim's so great. Jim is Lori's husband, and I'm sure if he's walked in from time to time, and you might be crying, and he'd be like, oh, she's working, and you know, walks out.
Because
he gets
Irish
it now
smiling.
By 37 books, I think he's got it
yeah.
now.
He does, yeah. Well, you have to go on that emotional journey with your characters while you write it, so your readers can go on that emotional journey while they read the book. So you're investing yourself, and that's what the readers want. So,
oh yeah,
yeah. It is funny, you know. Or I'd be break at work, and I'd be writing a scene, and people are like, what's wrong with you? You know, why are you crying? And that would be the hardest thing. They're like, oh my gosh, I couldn't work after this. But that was hard. Those you limit, and then you just, you know, save those for your, block off the time for your emotional writing.
Right. Well, I think one of the funniest things I ever did was I was working as a nurse, and we were in an orientation class for IV therapy. You have to take it for whatever hospital you work. And they were saying, you can't put this through the IV. You can't throw this medicine through the IV. It has to be diluted. You know, all these different things. It could cause these problems. And I kept saying, is that traceable? And I had several friends in my and my nursing class that had gone to school with me, sitting in class with me for this IV therapy certification. And after about the third time I asked, the woman teaching it was getting very, I think she's getting very worried. She's like, oh my gosh, who do we hire? My friends were like, oh, it's fine. She's a writer. And she was like, oh, okay. She was like feeling much, much more secure.
And she's not giving you the code on how to do this, untraceable
right.
drugs.
let me write that down. But if you haven't read Lori's Once Upon a Romance series, let me tell you, there's 11, 12 books in the series?
Well, 14, and I'll
14.
Probably write 3 more this year
they're
stacking up.
Yeah, and so I love, the covers are great. There's just so much fun, these covers. So tell me which ones you're thinking about writing this year for your Once Upon a Romance.
The fairy tale retellings, romantic comedy fairy tale retellings, and Aladdin will be the one up next. So while I'm writing, I just finished a novella, writing a short story, and then Aladdin comes next, and I write that book. And I've got a couple others. My readers want me to do Mulan, and I'm like, oh, okay, let me see. How can I work this in? So,
right, sure.
It's been fun to choose a fairy tale and then put it, twist it around on its head.
Right. I mean, the obvious ones you started with, like Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, and Beauty and the Beast. But then once you had those in, were people writing to you and saying, can you do this one? I mean, is that how you kind of come up with the next? Okay. Because what's really cute on your covers is not only that, but you've got, if you haven't looked, I know you've looked, Lori, but I haven't, if you're out there listening, there's this really cute little frog on the cover of every book.
I made sure of that one. That was my
So
request.
That was your idea.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Wow.
I contacted the cover designer. I'd gotten, she was highly recommended, and Lindsay Llewellyn of Llewellyn Designs, if anybody wants to know. And I talked, we did a few emails back and forth, and I looked at some of the covers she had done. I looked at some covers that were out there that she hadn't done but were around, and I decided no faces, which is strange, but, the sexy lady with legs showing, and, of course, the shoes. It always had to be the shoes. And,
sure.
She came up with a couple concepts, and I told her, the series name, Once Upon a Romance, and I have to have the frog somewhere on the cover of every book. And she said, no problem. And she did it. She just knocked it out of the ballpark. And at this point in time, I just tell her a few little things. I used to give a description, but it's like, well, really, she doesn't need to know the color hair or anything. And
right.
I give her a few things. I tell her what fairy tale then most of the time I have the title. Sometimes I don't, and then I give it to her later. And usually it's just one or two tries, and she comes up with the perfect concept for me. And it's just terrific, just a great working relationship. And she's actually done every cover for me, my own covers.
Yeah.
And the Thule covers that I have, I have 5 books out with Thule, the Dear Cupid one, she's done that one too.
Oh, wow, okay.
When I first contracted with Thule, that was my one request, just to keep my name as Lindsay had it on my book covers. And
right.
They agreed, and of course they loved the cover she had done for me, and they asked for a name, and they contacted her, and they formed, an agreement. She's done all my books for them and for me, so I'm just blessed. So, yeah, she did a great job on this one, Dear Cupid.
Oh, it just, and you're right. You know, having that consistency and knowing that brand and knowing that's you is a huge deal for readers, because they can say, oh, I immediately know who that is. I'm looking
mm-hmm.
for it. So,
yeah.
So you've got, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So you've got your Thule book just came out. So what's next?
The Aladdin book will come out in probably late April. I'll have I'm going to put two novellas together, and they're kind of a spinoff on the Once Upon a Romance series. Characters in a couple of those books, readers have asked for me to, you know, develop their story a little bit more. So that should come out in June, and then a few more. This year, I have so many projects I want to do. I thought up a 5-book series the other day, and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, when am I going to have time to do that?
I know.
Year. So
it's always crazy.
2020. Yeah, because I want to, you know, write them and bring them out quick for the readers. A lot of readers say, you know, I like to read them quick, and some, you know, they want a little bit more time. So I'm trying to, you know, find the best times for them. So I think maybe
right.
a month apart for one series. But
do you have any more books coming out with Thule?
They're in the works, where we have a project we agree on, and we're just working on more things.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing has, you know, I don't have dates for books or stories. We're just, you know, working together on a few things. And I think it's going to go great. Yeah.
A little brainstorming.
Yeah. Well, they've like one of the concepts I gave to them, and now we'll see how that goes forward. Yeah. They've been wonderful to work with.
Oh yeah, I like them. They're fabulous. So,
yes.
So we have about 2 minutes left. So if you're tuned into Readers Entertainment Radio, we've been talking to Lori LeClaire, best-selling author. She writes contemporary romance, romantic comedies, romantic suspense, and women's fiction. She's got 37 books out. So if you're stuck at home because of the cold weather or the crazy weather that you're having, there are plenty of books there to be had. And her latest book, Dear Cupid, is out on Amazon, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, and iBooks. And you can also find Lori at her website, Facebook, Twitter, and Goodreads. All of those links are in the write-up of the show today. And we're looking forward to seeing Aladdin, a book from her Once Upon a Romance series, probably coming out in April. And then some novellas in June. So, you know, keep tuning in, checking her website there. And as always, I always love talking to you, Lori, because you're super positive and wonderful. And so I always love seeing your successes.
Yeah.
And so
well,
if you ever –
you're
are
a
you
great
going,
cheerleader.
Well, thank you. Are you going to RWA?
Support.
Are you going?
We're not sure. My husband and I, we're traveling a lot this year.
Uh-huh.
So if we do, we'll probably – if we're in that area, we'll stop by for the literacy signing. But I'm not sure about the entire conference. So, yeah, we'll be on the road quite a bit this year. So, yeah.
So that RWA.
That's why the book projects are.
Oh, yeah. Well, RWA is Romance Writers of America. They just opened registration for their conference in New York City this year in July. So hopefully we'll see a lot of you there. And thank you again, Lori, for coming and talking to us today.
Oh, thank you. I had a great time, and wish everybody the best, and, you know, just I hope to see you on the road, you know.
I would love that.
Travel.
We should get together very soon.
Yes.
All right, everybody, go keep reading, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions. www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.